chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. As I have said and will continue to say, the purpose of this church is to provide a positive influence or make a positive influence or contribution to our community. But in order to do that, as I've already just said, is that we not only need to lead people to Christ, but we're also going to have to learn how to help them work their way through some issues. You may remember that at one point, Jesus, standing at the grave of Lazarus, they had called upon him because Lazarus was dead. Bible said he loved Lazarus. He wept over the grave. But when the time come, he said, roll the stone away. And he called all the way into the depths of death itself and called Lazarus forth from the grave. And the Bible said he came out of the grave still wrapped in grave cloths. But I want you to understand something here. At that point, Jesus did not unwrap Lazarus. He turned to the people and said, loose him and let him go. He looked to the people and says, now, I gave him life. Now you take the things that bind him up and set him free. I believe there's a model in there someplace for the church. I just pushed the wrong button, excuse me. There's a model in here for the church that when Jesus brings life, people still need help. Does that make sense? When I became born again 30-some-odd years ago, I needed a lot of help. Thank God there was a body there. The church was there to help me through a lot of the problems. Hallelujah. There were people who tried to teach me and show me and lead me and guide me. They took their grave clothes from around me and set me free. That's the job of the church. Now, I say all that to say this. There's no way this or any church can do that without a thing called love. Can someone say amen? No one will receive your help unless they first understand that you love them. Unless they first understand that you have their best interest at mind. You have to prove your love to people. People have to see it and have to feel it. Now, the problem I have with all of that is this. It doesn't always come naturally. Matter of fact, most of the time, it does not come naturally. To love the unlovely is not an easy thing. We pick and choose who we love. We pick and choose who we like. We pick and choose who we want to hang with. God simply says, here they are. You all take care of them. I'm sure there were people at that gravesite who didn't even like Lazarus. They were probably just there to see the spectacle. Some of them may have been there just to say, I'm glad he's dead. I really don't know why they were there. But the Bible says Jesus did not pick and choose. He took that dead man that was given life and said, now, take care of him, people. That's what God does with the church. He drives his people from the dead, and gives them over to the church. And we have to look at ourselves and say, but God, I don't know if I can do that. God said, good, I've made a way. James chapter 2, verses 8 through 13, reading first in the King James, said, if you fulfill the royal law, we're going to talk about this royal law. The first few moments here is going to be reviewed from last week, and then we'll finish up. Here's the royal law according to Scripture. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. We can't pick and choose who God's going to send us and pick and choose who we're going to help. You're convinced of the law is transgressors, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet offends in that one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now thou commit no adultery, yet thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. I use that whole scripture because, just the law, the thou shalt nots, are not going to bring the love of Jesus to the people around us. Because if all we have is the law, I'm going to look at someone and say, thou shalt not smoke, thou shalt not do that. And I'm just going to keep running, put more on top of them that they can't bear right now. Amen. There's got to be a way that we can love them, not necessarily embrace their sin or agree with their sin, but love the people that Jesus is saving. You all need to think about that for a moment. Hallelujah. The New Living Translation says, yes, indeed. It's good when you obey the royal law as found in scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you're committing a sin. Can someone say click? You're guilty of breaking the law. For the person who keeps all the laws except one is as guilty as a person who's broken all of God's laws. For the same God who said you shall not commit adultery also said you must not murder. So if you murder someone but don't commit adultery, you've still broken the law. Whatever you say, whatever you do, remember you will be judged by that law that sets you free. I'm not going to preach this. It was last week's sermon. Does the Ten Commandments set you free? Does the law of Moses set you free? Does the words of the prophet set you free? No, we found out in the book of Galatians, it's a schoolmaster. All these things are to help to convince us, as Jesus said the Holy Ghost would do, convince us of our sinfulness. Amen? But the law that sets us free, there will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. Man, we could stop right there and go home. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. Hallelujah. The royal law. Love is the key to the Christian lifestyle. We'll go through this quickly. This is all review. And love is the very essence of God. God does not love. He is love. I got to be honest with you. My finite mind cannot totally grasp that. If you got a complete handle on it, God bless you. I don't quite understand it. God does not love. He is love. He's the very essence of love. All that love is, he is. Anyone who does not love God, does not know God, let me back up. Anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Hallelujah. God's agape love is an unconditional thing that has no strings attached. God doesn't say, I'll love you if you do this. I'll love you because you did that. None of that's in there. He says, I love you unconditional. You say, well, I don't have that kind of love. Well, join the club. Hallelujah. God didn't wait for us to get it all together. God didn't wait for us to get everything fixed. This is review from last week. While we were yet living a life of sin, Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus gave his life and his blood while we were still sinners. So we couldn't earn the love of God. Can someone say amen? God loved us so much that he gave his son. Y'all know this scripture. John 3:16, so much love did he have for us. Hallelujah. All of us, because we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Now, let me just say something about judgment. There is no heavenly scale. You may remember this picture from last week. There's no heavenly scale. On one side is your good works, on one side is your bad works. You know, and if the good works outweigh the bad works, then we must make it into heaven. Wrong. That's not what the scripture says. There is no heavenly scale. And I, for one, am very glad about that. And I think y'all should be too, because no matter how good you are, you probably would tip the scales the other way if there were scales in heaven. Amen? Hallelujah. The word says that he has fulfilled the law, the royal law, James says. He that loves has fulfilled the law. The royal law of loving one another. Where's this love coming from? Where do we get it from? Hallelujah. We're almost caught up to last week. Bear with me here. He that loves has fulfilled the law. What law? The commandments. Jesus said that last week, he said that I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. We have Christ within us through being born again. We have Christ within us through the born again experience, the regeneration. If God's Son has fulfilled the law and he's living within us, then within us is the fulfillment of the law. Within us is the possibility. Within us is the possibilities of actually fulfilling the law because Christ is within us. The royal law that James calls it. Here it is. Love your neighbors. Love your neighbors. You see it in Galatians. We read it in John. This love of God, the fulfilling of the royal law, is expected of us. This law is expected in our lives. It's called the royal law because it's a law that was decreed by the king of the kingdom. This is not just Paul's idea. This is not John's idea. This came straight from the word of God. You can find it in the book of Leviticus if you want to go look it up. Love your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. My friend that calls, hallelujah. A lot of complaints, and just to reiterate real quick, I said, you know, you need to learn to know who God is. You got to figure out this thing about God. God has got such a temperament. God has got such a personality. God has got such a character that he automatically loves because he is love. And I told her, you need to get to understand his character. I want to challenge everyone here today. I said it twice because I want this on the tape. I want to challenge you to do a Bible study. Get a couple of books. Find something out there. I said earlier there's a book by Lester Summerall you could get if it's still in print called The Names of God. And begin to look at the character of God. If you can't find a book, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 13. And in 1 Corinthians 13, you'll find all the attributes of God. It says, for love is and love doesn't. That's God. Amen? So we look at that. Hallelujah. We say, I can't do that. And yet we're told to fulfill the law, even though Jesus says, I know you can't. But here's the thing. The problem is not in the words of God. The problem is not in the law. The problem is in us. Because we are too sinful to fulfill the law. But, hallelujah, God sent us a Savior. This is just almost where we ended last week. To rescue us from sin. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, what we commonly call the Christmas story. The angel told Mary something. He said, you're going to have a little boy. And you're going to call him Jesus. And then told her what Jesus would do. He said, he will save his people from their sin. Our lack of love is sin. Our lack of ability to love as Jesus loved is sin. Jesus came to save us from that sin. Amen? So, this is where we ended last week. Only Christ can supply the love that we need to fulfill the royal law. Okay, we're up to date on that? So, Christ is the source of that law. And here's where we ended, right here. Agape, or agapeo, is God's attitude towards Jesus. I want you to think about that. When you think about loving one another, when you think about the love of God, I want you to think about God's attitude towards his own son. That's the kind of love we are meant to have for our neighbors. John 17, 26. Jesus praying aloud said, I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. I want you to think about this real close. This is a little tricky here. The love you have for me is in them. It didn't say it will be. Didn't seem to say it should be. He said, it's in them. When we became saved, when we became born again, when we became a Christian, the capacity for that love, Brother Jamie, is in us. It's already there. Then why don't I do it all the time? Well, I may have to answer that in another sermon. But it shows God's love. The agape is the kind of love he had towards his son. It's the same love he has for the human race. He loved the world so much. He gave his son. God showed his mercy that while we were sinners, he died. God loves Jesus. God loves the human race. And especially the believer. For those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me. See, people don't like the becauses. People don't like, God loves us no matter what. Please read Scripture. Because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Does the word reciprocal mean anything to anybody? Reciprocal, I can't say that, give and take. You know what, Brother John, you're a tool guy back there. We have a couple of, you know where reciprocating saw does, right? Saw's all goes back and forth as it cuts. Love is meant to be reciprocal. It's not meant to be unilateral, which means one way. God loves me, God loves me, God loves me. Okay, but we receive the love of God and we give away the love of God. We receive the love of God, we give away the love of God. Back and forth, back and forth. If God only loved you, that'd be a great thing, but he also expects you to love your neighbor. Oh, hallelujah. It's a whole lot easier to be loved by God than to love God's other creations sometimes, especially when we don't agree with them. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus said, because my love is in you, now you can love other people. This type of love is not a complacent form of love. It's active. It's always action. God is always doing something. And the kind of love we're talking about is not drawn out by the excellence, hallelujah, of the object. And what's that mean? That means I don't have to earn it. Do you understand? Some of you really understand how unlovable I can be. It's got nothing to do. God didn't look at me and say, well, when George gets it together, he becomes more lovable. Maybe I'll put up with him. If that's the case, I'm still waiting 35 years later. Don't you laugh, John. Hallelujah. God does not say wait. He doesn't say be good. It loves in spite of the object. Now, you say, that's good. I'm glad God loves me that way. God said love your neighbor that way too. Uh-oh. Now that gets harder. But you don't understand what my neighbor is. Well, that doesn't really matter. You don't understand what they do. Doesn't say that. It says love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor with the same love I gave you. Hallelujah. See, I can't speak for anybody in here, but I know what I was like 35 years ago. You think I'm bad now? Woo, I am. You should have known me 35 years ago. God, in spite of how rotten and arrogant and self-centered and drunken and addicted and all those nice things I was, loved me. He didn't say put down the dope and I'll love you. He didn't say get your act together and I'll love you. He simply loved me. Most unlovable guy I could think of was me, and God loved me. Now he says, now here's the thing, George, love others too. We've already read this scripture. While I was in that mess, God loved me. Love, agapeo, has its perfect expression through Jesus Christ. How are we going to love our community? How are we going to make a positive contribution and how are we going to do that in our own love? Maybe to some limited capacity we could, but if we will allow the love of God that's already in us to be demonstrated and shown to other people and helping other people, that's what's going to meet the needs of the people. That's what's going to make a positive influence. That's what's going to change the very face of our community. Hallelujah. I'm not against politics. I do vote. I will vote this November. But I got to tell you the truth. No matter who gets in office, Democrat, Republican, Tea Party, Independent, doesn't really matter. It's going to be the love of Jesus that changes our community. It's going to be the love of Jesus that changes our nation and our world. So all the politics in the world is not going to change it. But the love can. Let me ask a question off the record here, which means don't raise your hands. How many would look at least a few people in our community and say, man, wish they'd get their act together? And you know, we say that out of frustration because basically it affects us. Please don't raise your hands. Because we all do it from time to time with at least one or two people, some more. If you really have that thought, keep it to yourself. But here, let me give you another thought to go with it. If you really want to change the people around you, introduce them to Jesus. Now, I know that's selfish, but here's the thing. People didn't want to be around me. I won't say you. People didn't want to be around me either. But because of the love of Jesus within me, I'm a little easier to deal with these days. Amen? That person you have a hard time dealing with, maybe it's your boss, maybe it's your neighbor. Hallelujah. By the way, your neighbor may feel the same way about you, but, you know. Hallelujah. Just might be a little easier to deal with if they were saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Because, you know, a lot of the frustrations and angers and stuff that people do is just based on the fact that they're lost. Amen. Amen. Friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. That word knows is a special word I won't get into. It's a very close relationship. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for he is love. God's love also constrains us. It controls us. People say religion is too controlling. The word of God is what controls, not the church, not the preachers, not the elders. Paul writes and says, either way, Christ's love controls us. Can I preach on that just for a moment? This is teaching. This is not preaching. God's love controls us. Because we love and are loved, there are certain things we don't do. It's not because you're afraid of going to hell. That only lasts a short time. Trust me, I know about that. But if we love, we won't be doing certain things, hurting certain people, saying certain things about people or to them. There are certain things we simply won't be doing anymore because we have a love within us. Can someone say amen? I don't not drink, smoke, or chew because I can't. I do it because I love Jesus and I don't have to. I have a choice. I love Jesus too much to do whatever it is your sin you may think of. Hallelujah. Let me speak to families for a second. We look at our children and we tell them, don't do that. Well, it's good if they obey us, but wouldn't it be better if they obeyed us because they loved us? Huh? Not because they fear us. Not because if mom and dad aren't happy, someone's going to get beat tonight or dinner won't be given me because I was bad, mom and dad won't feed me. That happens a lot, by the way. Wouldn't it be nice if it would be done for love? Hallelujah. God wants us to share the love of Jesus. It's controlling us since we believe that Christ died for all. We also believe we have all died to our old life. Glory unto God. You can write these down as I go along. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 17, speaks about the great love of God. God's love is not necessarily like your wife's or husband's love. It goes beyond that. It's the greatest love. Matter of fact, part of that verse says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. A great love. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21 says that Christ will make his life within us, within our heart, and bring his love into us. Ephesians 5, 1 through 10, hallelujah, says we are his dear children, and his life, which is filled with love, is now in us. Hallelujah. The Christ we're talking about is the Christ within you. We are told by the Scripture to walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? It means take what God has given us and work it out. Live it out. Just knowing something doesn't mean much. But when you can apply it, you know my favorite terminology is applied Christianity. When we can take the Word of God and apply it to our life, that's walking in the Spirit. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Could I just say for a moment here, I am Pentecostal. I thank God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues. I believe in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But the main job of the Holy Ghost is not for me to babble in tongues. The main job of the Holy Spirit in my life is to lead me and guide me into the ways of Christ. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful desire wants. When Christ is within us, there is a conflict. I want to do wrong. Christ wants to do right. There's a conflict back and forth. I've had people come to me and say, I don't understand. I'm conflicted since I got saved. You well should be. Hallelujah. There's a teaching out there that said there's not two natures. I disagree with that. Hallelujah. And the reason I know that, brother, because there's a part of me that wants to do wrong, and that ain't God. There's something in me that wants to do wrong, but God, through his Spirit, these two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. I am not running around day by day and say, I can't do this because thou shalt not. There's something new in me. There's the royal law of love. There's the law of mercy, the law of freedom. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to skip that. Law of liberty. The law of liberty. Hallelujah. By the way, do you know the first fruit of the Spirit is love? The law of liberty in James 1:25 says something like this. Christ came to set us free. He came to set us free from sin, came to set us free from the old desires. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure you stay free and don't get tied up again into the slavery to the law. The law has been fulfilled in Christ. If Christ is within us and we're following after him, we will begin to fulfill the law without thinking about it. If you love your neighbor, you will not kill your neighbor. You don't have to walk around saying, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Although there are times when you say, I can't do it, I can't do it. I can't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I seen a little sign in a store recently. He said, I've got one nerve left and you're getting on it. Hallelujah. There's a law of liberty. God, Jesus sent his son to set us free from sin. We were all bound by sin. Jesus came to set us free from sin. Amen? Did we read this earlier or did we not? You shall have a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will set his people free from their sins. Amen? Freedom, hang on, comes from obedience. You say, oh, no, wait a second. Now, I got to say something here, and this is the bad of my generation and others. We have sometimes somehow gave the impression that Christianity is a bunch of do's and don'ts and rules and regulations. But you know it's not. It's a freedom. Freedom is found in John 8:31-32. It says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if. You know, I know people in the Christian realm that just they wish that word was never in the Bible, if. You are my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. Only in Christ can we be truly free. As we follow after Christ, we become free from sin, that we can make the decision, I don't have to do this anymore. I don't even want to do it anymore. That's the day you really know you've had a moment with the Lord. When whatever it is your favorite weakness is, that's not an oxymoron because we do have favorite weaknesses, okay? Well, you finally look and say, you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. That is a wonderful moment when the love of God has come through us and the truth of God is in the process of setting us free through Christ Jesus. Christ in us allows us to love. Amen? Where's this love going to come from to change our community? Where's this love going to come from to make a difference, a positive difference in our community? Through love. Where's the love going to come from? Through our relationship with Jesus Christ. As we are loved, we love others. Christ in us allows us to keep the law. I do not walk around. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I am not walking around quoting the Mosaic Law all day long. But if I'm truly following after Christ, I will find I am obeying the law without even considering and thinking about it. I will do it automatically because of my love for Jesus Christ. If you love me, John 14, three different verses there, 15, 21, and 23. If you love me, obey my commandments. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Jesus replied, all who love me, who do what I say, my Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Hallelujah. The love of God is transforming. The love of God forms us and shapes us. The love of God is what changes us. The obedience also keeps us. As we obey the word of God, it keeps us in relationship, fellowship, if you will, with God. Hallelujah. When you obey my commandments, Jesus said in John 15, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. And either way, Paul said, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. And those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. This is how we know we are living in him. And I want to say here, it's not too hard to do. I want you to think about that. Many times, I hear people use this expression all the time. I want to do right, but it's just so hard. According to Scripture, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Okay, we know that. But please, let's read the second part of the sentence. And his commandments are not grievous. It means it's not too hard. It's hard if we don't have the love of God. It's hard if we don't have a developed relationship with Jesus. If you're trying to do this Christian thing without God, quit right now and get born again and start over. Because you're not going to be able to do it. Then you're trying to live rules and regulations. Then the young people are right. If they're trying to do this without Christ, it's just a bunch of rules and regulations. But when you have a relationship with God, when that love of Christ is within us, he's revealing Jesus to us, and that love is growing. It is not too hard to do the right thing. Hallelujah. I may be speaking out of turn here, but, you know, one thing I've seen change in relationships since I've been around. There was a time when relationships meant you gave up your life for the person you were marrying. And the two of you gave up your life for your children. That's just what we did. But there's a certain self-centered thing now that says, I want it my own way. I really believe this affects our relationship with Jesus. If we're not willing to say no to something to please our husband or wife or our kids please the parents, can we really say no to ourselves to please God? This is something I believe that needs to come back into the church, come back into Christianity. The willingness to self-sacrifice, the willingness to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Why not? Because I love God too much. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the law says not to cover your neighbor's wife. If we're loving our neighbor, we won't want to covet the neighbor's wife and hurt our neighbor. Does that make any sense to anybody? This love of God must come back. But we have to walk out. We have to work out. You'll be happy to know I'm almost done. We have to take the things. I say that, by the way, just for explanation on the tape. Preaching is one thing. Expository teaching is another. What we're doing here is expository teaching. It's a little more boring than having me run up and down and shout and make jokes. Okay? Hallelujah. But this is where you're going to grow. You want to feel good, I'll preach at you. You want to grow, I got to teach you. I really believe that the church, the reason I keep doing this, the reason we stay here, God has called us to make a positive difference in our community. But before we can make a positive difference, we've got to get this together. We've got to get our own lives in Christ. Hallelujah. For this is the love of God, that we keep the commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. But you got to work it out. You got to walk it out. It doesn't happen automatically. Oh, hallelujah. That's another sermon. I only touch on it. I won't preach it. There's nothing automatic in Christ. Christ says, here's my way. Walk ye in it. Hallelujah. God spoke through the prophets. God spoke through the men of old. God spoke to the patriarchs. So this is my way. Here I am. He told the children of Israel, if you turn this way and follow me, I'll bless, 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 and bless. But if you go the other way, I'm going to curse, 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 and curse. I'm leading you. This is my way. Walk in it. If we choose to walk another way, we can't have the fullness of God. We have to choose to take the things we learn as we read, as we study, and walk it out. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to open up the church for some financial teachings. I do know, I'm very familiar, I'm not familiar with this, but I'm familiar with Ron Blue and his organization. And I know what happened 20 years ago when I heard this stuff and didn't do it. I got worse off. We're going to get some good truths given to us about our finances. If we decide not to do it, chances are that truth won't help us. Amen? Y'all know what the definition of fool is, don't you? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Amen. Glory unto God. We're gonna try to impart to you some truths about your parenting styles and skills. If you take the truths that we offer and apply them, you'll find they work. But if you sit back and say, I don't believe in that, fine. You're welcome to keep your kids just the way they are. We are welcome to keep the life we have or follow after Christ. Let his love change us so we can love others. Amen? We got to walk it out. 2 John 1:16. And this is love. You've been waiting for the ending of this thing. Okay, here's the definition. This is love. I love God. My friend on the phone, you know, I love God. I won't say anymore. because I gave her our website, she's going to be listening to these tapes, so I can't use an example anymore. Hallelujah. This is love. We walk after his commandments. You know, I don't want to be harsh, but, you know, when we say I love God and keep walking after the flesh, we really got to question ourselves. If you say I love God, but we keep doing everything God says not to do, we really need to question ourselves. I won't, but you need to. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Knowing is not enough. Doing is what counts. Liberty or freedom comes from God's love and God's mercy. James 2:13 is what we've been reading. Talk and act like a person expecting to be judged by the rules that set us free. Hallelujah. All you up-and-coming preachers and teachers out there's a sermon and teaching right there. You need to act like you're going to be judged someday. What do you want to be judged by? You want to be judged by the law, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not? Or do you want to be judged by the law of love and mercy and grace? I don't know about y'all, but my decision's made on that. For if you refuse to act kindly, I don't necessarily read the message, but I was looking for something and I found it in this translation. Here it is. If you refuse to act kindly, you can hardly expect to be treated kindly. My God, it doesn't get any simpler than that. Now, let me just say this. I don't like mean people, but I've learned to deal with them. I can put up with mean people, brothers, but I do not want to have to deal with a mean God. Now, I'm not saying God is mean, but that scripture just said if I'm going to be treated kindly, I got to act kindly. If I want to be treated with mercy from God, I have to show mercy to people around me. Kind mercy wins over harsh judgment every time. Now, there is some preaching in that scripture. Hallelujah. When we fulfill the law of love, we have done the following. We've acknowledged that we've broken God's law. I don't know about you, but when I witness to people, this can be a real hard thing. People just don't want to believe they've sinned. First of all, most people don't know what it is. Hallelujah. We've also discovered that only the life of love can fulfill the law. And we believe that only Christ can supply that law. In closing, I got a quotation for you. I'm going to read this because I'm not smart enough to have made this up myself. The quote is from the Expanded Vines Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. That's a mouthful right there. Anybody think you're theologically smart? Just learn the title of that book. You don't even have to read the book. Just learn the title. And say, yeah, well, you know, I was just sitting in the back last night, and instead of watching TV, I was reading the Expanded Vines Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. Hallelujah. Well, here's what it says. In respect to agapeo, which is the verb form of love, by the way, as used of God, it expresses the deep and constant love and interest of a perfect being towards totally unworthy objects. That's us. Producing and fostering a reverential love in them towards the giver, us to God. Why do I love God? Because he is so lovable. God is just so cool. Whatever verbiage you want to use. And a practical love towards those who are partakers of the same, and a desire to help others seek the giver. Whew, man. I could just kind of sit home this afternoon and just read this over and over again until I get it. The love of God, the love that God shows towards us, hallelujah, it produces two things. It produces a love for him. When we experience that love of God, we can't help but love him back. And then it goes a step further. Something changes inside of us, and we begin to love as he loved. We begin to look at the people next to us, the people in the neighborhood, the people in the car that just cut us off, the people this is the one that sneaks in front of you, the line in the bank, just as you get there. I seen that. Hallelujah. You want to find me in an ungodly moment? You let me walk into the express lane and find somebody there with more than 10 items. I count a couple. See, y'all laugh because you do the same thing. But the love of God will produce in us a love for Him and a love for our fellow man. It is not natural for me to love someone who does me dirt. But I have the ability and the want because the one who I did dirt to loves me. When I sinned against God, not just my fellow man. I sinned against God. And that same God loved me, Jamie. And now I love Him, and I want to love the others. Hallelujah. Summary. Love seeks the welfare of all. I'm not talking about department of. I'm talking about the welfare means well-being. Love seeks the well-being of all people. Those of us who are strong. Now let's talk to the church. Okay, Paul's talking to the church here. You know, it's the end of the book of Romans. It's the first known book of theology. The second one is Galatians. But Romans is theology. At the end, he says, those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in. I'd like to say step up, but that's my century. And lend a hand to those who falter. And not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. I got to say that one again. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? What's our purpose again? Oh, to make a positive contribution to the community around us by leading them to the Lord Jesus Christ and to help them find their own destiny in Him. How can I help? Love works no ill to any. Don't run up debts except for a, there's a scripture for your new teaching. Don't run up debts except for a huge debt of love that we owe each other. Don't ask me how I know this. But if you don't pay your bills, someone will come looking for the money. Don't make people come looking for you because you didn't love them. Amen? When you love others, you complete what the law has been after all along. The law, don't sleep with another person's spouse. Don't take someone's life. Don't take what isn't yours. Don't always be wanting what you don't have. Ooh. And any other don't you can think of. Finally adds up to this. The message has got kind of funny at times. Yeah. Hallelujah. Finally adds up to this. Love other people as well as you do yourself. You can't go wrong when you love others. When you add up everything in the law, the sum total is love. And love seeks an opportunity to do good to all men. Someone say amen. Whatever, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially the family of faith. You know, if you can't love your fellow Christian, how can you love people outside? You say, I thought you're ending. I am. I end longer than some people preach, I warn you. I gave up on the. I have this from last week. I know what I was going to preach last week, and here's I'm ending. 1 Corinthians 3:13-7. This is a description. Now, how many people have you ever heard say, I've said it myself, well, that's the way we should be. Well, that's true. But I want to take a slightly different twist on and say, this is how God is. You say, well, what does it mean to be God-like? Let's read together. Love, you could put the word God in there, by the way. It would be 100% proper to put in the word God because we're talking about agapeo, which is the God kind of love. Let me do that, as a matter of fact. God is patient and kind. God is not jealous, boastful, or proud, or rude. He doesn't demand His own way. He's not irritable. I'm real glad about that. Of all the times I went to God, He's never went, what? Never mind. Hallelujah. God is not irritable and keeps no record of being wronged. God does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. God never gives up, never loses faith, It is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Hallelujah. You know, some people have a hard time with the word lordship, so I just wrote in there CEO. In our society, Lord is not a common word. Sometimes it has a bad inclination to it. But if you think of someone being the CEO of your life, okay? The lifestyle of living under the lordship of Christ Jesus sets us free to enjoy a life of love. For if indeed you really, really, really fulfill the royal law in accordance to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ye do well. Hallelujah. So, let's all do well. Amen? The purpose of our church is to make a positive contribution and influence to this community, to help people find a relationship with Jesus and find their own destiny, fulfill their God's plan in their life, to live the abundant life. That's what we're supposed to do. But my question is, are we doing that right now? God is giving us a chance. He's reminding us of his love and what his love will do for us, so we can take that love and apply it to those around us. There may be people in your life, I know a few in my life, that I'm not so sure I want to share the love of God with. But you know what I do about that? I go to Jesus and say, Jesus, that is the most wicked thing I have thought today. Please forgive me. Please give me a love for that person. Hallelujah. I remember as a young Christian, actually wasn't all that young, of praying for somebody simply because I couldn't stand them. God save them. I can't put up with them anymore. Well, part of that's God, the saving part. I just don't really think, brother, that God would save him just so I wouldn't be pestered by him anymore. Hallelujah. How many times, don't raise your hand. How many times do we pray for our kids? Oh, God, save that boy. Well, be careful, because that boy gets saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost. He just may make you look bad. Hallelujah. God wants us to be filled with that love. Now, I'm not going to do an altar call where you raise your hand, all that stuff. That's an embarrassing thing. It's something personal. But I'm going to give an altar call that I think we can all answer. God, can you make me more loving? God, can you give me a love for my fellow man that's such a love that it actually produces a want in me to help them? Can I be the one standing at Lazarus' tomb that's willing to get my hands dirty and unwrap the grave clothes? You know, it was against the law to touch a dead person. Did you know that? Amen. But you know what? They didn't care. Jesus simply said, unwrap him. And they did. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Let's just think about this for a moment. Don't you get no ideas there. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to call and talk to Mike. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I know that we are a loving people. I truly know that. But Lord, when we look at the scriptures, something just doesn't add up. Hallelujah. Something just doesn't add up. I don't have as much love in some cases, in some instances, as I possibly could have. Father, I'm going to lift that before you right now, each individual. We're just going to lift it before you. Say, Lord, there are a certain type of people, a certain person. Maybe it's a race. Maybe it's a gender. Maybe it's, I don't know. I just don't really have the love I should have. Father, I want that to change this morning. I want that to change right now, Lord. I do recognize that you so loved me that you gave your son. I do realize that the fulfillment of the law of love is in Jesus. And I know that Jesus is in me because of the new birth. So therefore, in me must be the ability to love all of those around me. Father, I pray that love would come to the surface. I pray it would be what drives me. I pray it would be what controls me. I pray it's what causes me to be obedient. I pray, Lord God, that love would so overtake me that when I look out my window, when I walk down the street, when I see people, I'll see what you see. And if there's something in me that can help them, I'm going to believe that love to overtake me and help my fellow man. Father, help me be the catalyst to change in my community. Help me be your hands, your voice. Help me be Christ to this nation. Cause your love to flow through me and love my fellow man in a way that I want to be loved in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now, all seriousness, okay? When we go home during the week, I want you, whenever that irksome thing comes up, maybe it has to do with whatever, I'm not going to get into that, a type of person, that's the moment. Take it to God. If you see someone of a race or a gender or another denomination or whatever it may be, look at this thing and say, there's something wrong here. I don't feel the love of Christ towards that person or this thing. God help me. That's the only way. By inviting Christ into the midst of that thing, it's ever going to get healed. It's ever going to find deliverance. It's the only way we're going to have the fullness of the love of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's all stand to our feet. If you haven't signed up yet for parenting, if you haven't signed up for the money, if you haven't signed up, please do so.